Hello. Okay, ladies, I think we're going to get started. Thank you for coming tonight. I cannot express to you how excited Jesse and I have been for this evening. We've been doing a lot of work over the past year and a half that's led to this, and I have been praying that women would come and they would remember, and it's just so fun to see all your faces, and I know there was a long queue to get your name tag. But now in the future, it won't be like that anymore because you're all in this group and it'll be a lot quicker. So thanks for your patience with that. And thanks for moving forward too. So I'm just going to pray and then hand it over to Jesse. She's going to start out our evening with some teaching on discipleship. And then we'll continue on with our evening. Sound good? Okay. Father God, we come before you and just thank you so much. For this day and this time, and I just thank you for being in this now quiet sanctuary, and it's just a restful moment to approach you from this day that we all come from different busyness and serenity and quiet and loud, and we're all here now, and I just thank you that for every woman that you've brought here tonight, and I pray that you would meet each one of us here, God, as I know that you're interested in each one of our lives and deeply. And may you teach us and lead us and love us in this evening. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Hi, ladies. Welcome. As Kristen said, we are so excited that you're here. This has been a long time in the making. Probably even over a year ago, there were a group of women planning out some of the women's ministry events for the year, and it already was exciting, kind of some of the ideas that were cropping up. And then the idea that we kept coming back to is like, you know what would be really cool is if eventually, we started looking into how we create some discipleship groups and some mentoring and stuff together, and we're like, yeah, that's a great idea. I have no idea how to do that. And then Kristen, at the end, she was actually sitting there. At the time, she was just helping me with some admin stuff, and she was like, I think we really ought to try that. Like, I think that that matters. And we're all like, that's incredible. I still don't know how that's going to happen. And so here we are a year later after she said, truly praying about this and listening. And I cannot think of anything that I've been more excited about here at Jacob's Well to do than this with women's ministry. Kristen's done a phenomenal job of listening, of meeting with different groups of people and paying attention. And so what I just wanted to talk to tonight, just to open us up, is just what is discipleship? Why are we focusing on this rather than just doing, you know, some teas and cookie exchanges and different things like that? And we are going to do some of those cool big gathering things. Don't worry, those things are super important, as we'll talk about. But why is it, instead of just focusing on women's ministry, we would like to think about this as discipleship? Because to us, really, what happens is that our lives get pressed up against the life of Jesus, and that's transformational. And that's what we would like to be the heartbeat of women's ministry and of men's ministry, and hopefully everything that we do, honestly, here at Jacob's Well. As I was thinking about it, well, first, does anybody, when you hear the word discipleship, what first, are there any thoughts that pop into your head when you think of that word? Yeah. Mentoring? Absolutely. Yep. Have you experienced that before, Diane, in your life before? Yeah, it's very impactful. Yeah. Linda, you had your hand up. Following Christ, right? Exactly. Yeah, and in fact, when you think of discipleship, really the start of that word, the root of that word is disciple, right? A learner, somebody who is learning. And when you think of the very first disciples in the Christian community, it was the disciples who were following along with Jesus, eating with him, right? Sleeping next to him, laughing at jokes together probably, watching his life, watching his interactions with other people. I just remember when I was a freshman in college, leaving home for the first time in rural Missouri and going to college in Southern California And my roommates were these two cousins from Southern California, from Orange County. And they were talking, and I remember sitting in my bunk bed, and they were saying things like, and I was all, and he was all. And I literally did not know what they were saying. I was like, and he was all what? Like, it was like learning a new language. But after time, after sleeping in the same room together and getting frustrated with each other and having to reconcile, our lives started to look like each other. We started even dressing like each other, right? They even picked up some of my bizarre, you know, Southwest Missouri mannerisms. They would give me such a hard time when I'd get on the phone and call home and my accent would come back. And they're like, what are you doing? But we started to become like one another. And that's what discipleship is. It is becoming like the very person of Christ. If you got this sheet that we handed out when we came in, at the top of it on that front page, and if some of you didn't get that, I'm making more copies, so I will bring you down some more. But one of my favorite passages of all time, and I think this describes discipleship, is this verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, and all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful passage? And it's kind of complicated. Like, you have to think about it for a little bit. But the image here is that you're holding up a mirror in your hand. And when you look into the mirror, instead of seeing your own reflection, what do you see? Christ. That you are being transformed from one glory to another, it says, into this image of Christ. And that's what discipleship is, that you start to look like Christ. But I don't know about you, but that's hard for me. That is hard for me to do on my own, that I don't often look in the mirror and think, that looks like Christ. And so I think one of the key things is at the opening of that verse, and all of us, right? That it requires someone sitting next to me, somebody that I have spent time with, that has been along the path and the journey with me, to say, hang in there. You've all experienced that. And I think that's what women, that's what we are so good at. Sometimes, and it is such hard work to create these relationships that you have around one another that push you more towards looking like Christ. And when you feel like it is not in you, I just had a wonderful conversation with a woman in our community yesterday that was so powerful for me, that she said that sometimes in her darkest thoughts, those things can take over in her heart, and that it's her having people that feel like light around her that start to remind her of the truer truth, right? And to me, that's just it. That is what discipleship is, and I want that. And I want that for us. I want that for us as a community of women, to get to the end of this year and to look back and say, I look a little bit more like Christ because of the ways that I pattern my life with these women around me. Yeah? Does that make sense? Okay. Well, that's kind of our heart. That's what we're headed for here. That's our hope. And I'm going to let Kristen talk to you a little bit about the history of how we got here and then where we're headed. Does that sound all right? Okay.
As Jesse mentioned, my name is Kristen McLean, and I probably told this to a number of women tonight, but I first started here a year and a half ago as the CCB administrator. Jim Gum called me up, and he was like, hey, we want to do this database, and we need someone who's really detail-oriented and, you know, isn't going to make a lot of mistakes to enter our entire, you know, community into this thing. I'm like, great, sign me up. Like, I love details. So, but I thought the position was going to just be a little while. My husband and I were small business owners. We just closed our shoe store. And so I just thought, oh, it's going to be like 6 weeks. That's what he said. And then, of course, I get in, and then he's like, finds out about some ministry background I have. He's like, hey, Jesse could really use some help. And, you know, so then I started, like she alluded to, doing some administrative stuff for her. And then it's just kind of, you know, as things happen, now I'm transitioning out of the CCB role. We've hired a new person to take on that role, and I'm going to be doing women's discipleship strictly, which I'm really, really excited about. So it's funny that when Jesse brought up that little luncheon that we were having, and I was like, yeah, I think we should do this. It was like the first thing I'd been in, but I'm so, I've been blessed to have significant mentoring relationships in my life and just formation, spiritual formation. And so when she said that, I was like, it just captured my heart. And I was like, yes, I want to be part of that. So from there, it just kind of through conversations, I said, I'd really like to start to just talk with some women from Jacob's Well and hear what they have to say. And so initially I got together with just three different groups of women, just three women each. And one group was all friends. One group, was like a mother, daughter, and then another woman. And then another group were three women who didn't know each other. And, or maybe two of them did and the other one didn't. And they all, the interesting thing is I went in with the same question to each one of them. And every group took on such a different, the conversation went in a totally different way. The things that came up. And it was so interesting because so the question I asked them, I just kind of threw out some things and basically it was like, so what are some significant, if you've had some significant discipleship experiences in your life and then just some other questions about why they're involved with Jacob's Well and things. And it was so just cool to see how each of those groups, different things came up. And then this last fall, we kind of sent out an email to some women just to say, hey, we've been talking about this. We want to gather a little bit more information and kind of share a little bit about where we're at. Would you like to meet? And so again, then I met with like five or six more groups from one person to like 10 people. It just varied how many women showed up on a particular day and just asked them the same question, significant discipleship experiences you've had. Why did you respond to this email? You know, and just, and it kind of came from there. And so I was, you know, either furiously taking notes or absorbed if it was like one-on-one and then later like writing things down just that were sparking my imagination and stuff. And so then Jesse and I came together and just talked. And you know, I just kind of spewed everything out and was like, this is what they said and this is what they said. And I didn't even have this, like this idea never crossed my mind. And it was so fun because like I said, what I went into thinking it was going to be, it turned into something totally different. And so Jesse and I just spent some time kind of parsing out that stuff and praying and brainstorming and have then developed this framework that we feel will help us to get better women better connected with each other and with the Lord. And I think one of the things that we kept talking about was that we wanted to be true to the DNA of Jacob's Well. And I think one of the main things about our DNA at Jacob's Well is that things happen really organically, which is such a beautiful thing. Along with that, one of the things that we talked about is that even organic things need structure to grow. And so we wanted to just provide enough of a structure and enough of a framework that women could latch onto it and understand like, oh, yeah. And when they were talking to women like, hey, did you know about this? And that kind of thing. But not too much structure that women would be like, that's not who I am, you know, or whatever. It just doesn't measure up with where I am. So it's a very broad framework, but there's definitely a lot of room for everyone in this room and certainly every woman in the community to find their niche and just, discipleship is so based on relationships and about who we are as people. So I think, you know, you'll all find a place for that. So I'm going to just kind of initially highlight, I don't have a slide, I don't know why I looked up there, but so sorry to draw your attention to, this is a beautiful digital thing that Kelly made for us, but it's not, it is in your, if you have a packet, sorry. Yeah, if you don't have a packet, Jesse's in the back and she can give you one. So on the first page, it lists these four pathways, what we're calling pathways for the women's ministry. I'll just kind of highlight them real quick and then tell you a little bit about them. So the first one is large gathering events, which Jesse alluded to, kind of what women had started about a year and a half to 2 years ago. The next one is small social gatherings. Then the third one is ongoing spiritual formation, and the fourth one is discipleship and mentoring. So I'll talk just a little bit about each one, and then we have a couple. I'm going to talk about the large group gatherings, and then we have other women who are going to talk about the other three components. So the large gatherings are large-scale, highly coordinated events by our women's event team with the purpose of just a gathering space for women to get have an entry point into relationships. So, you know, a lot, if we felt like we've been having some of these. So if you've come to some of them, we've had a sweet and savory brunch. We did the soup and fire social last fall. We've had a couple women's forums similar to this on different topics or having different speakers. Trying to think. I think that's about it. And the point of these is to have a, we have them at the church, so it's easy for people to come to, and just an entry point. So women, whether you've been here a long time and can connect with other women that you know, or if you're new to the church, it's a very easy way to just come and get to know someone. It's, I don't want to say it's a non-threatening environment because I don't think anything's threatening, but maybe. I mean, some women aren't totally ready to, you know, they don't want to necessarily be asked all these questions and that kind of stuff, but it's inviting. That's a better way to put it, I think. It's just inviting to where, you know, we sit around table and have breakfast and there's just easy conversation, and but to provide a place for women to meet people, to meet other women and build some of those initial relationships or find out. Usually at like some of those events, we highlight corpus groups that are going on, and women that are leading corpus groups or in them can stand up and you can put a name with a face. Talking about some other, like we have a Bible study coming up and, you know, we can announce it there, that kind of thing. So that's just the initial kind of two sentence thing about that. The small social gatherings, this is kind of a new idea, and this was actually born out of one of those groups that I did a long time ago. We feel like there's definitely a need for a large group event at the church, but we feel like there's also a need for smaller, more intimate social gatherings for women to connect on a more regular basis. The large event gatherings we just do, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. And so our vision for this is that we'd like them to happen more often. They're more informal. They still serve the purpose of connecting women, but in a more intimate space and without a commitment of meeting more than one time. You just come to it and then maybe you'll come to another one, but there's no commitment, long-term commitment there. And Sarah McGill is going to talk a little bit, flesh those out for us. The ongoing spiritual formation, that includes institutes, which a lot of you are familiar with that we do 3 times throughout the year. Sometimes there's ones just focused specifically towards women. Other times, you know, there's not, but definitely they apply to us. And then Bible studies, which I know that we haven't had at the church in a very long time. And that was one of the things that came up in all of those conversations with women, was just women saying that they wanted to study the word. I want to study the word. I want to study the word. And we're like, okay, enough women have said this. We need to be doing it. So that is, you can see up here, which I realized on Sunday, I'll just draw your attention to it because it'll make me feel better. Philippians is spelled with 2 L's. And I am like the detail-oriented person, and I didn't catch that. And I literally started hyperventilating in the front row over here. I was like, Philippians has 2 L's. And my husband's like, no one knows how to spell Philippians. It's fine. I was like, yeah. He goes, just be thankful it wasn't Jude, and you didn't spell it like J-W-D. And I was like, yeah, thanks, honey, for making me feel better. So anyway, but we are starting a Bible study on Philippians, and Jesse and I are going to be leading that, and we're so thrilled. I mean, and I just to tell you, 55 women have already signed up for that, which is just insane and awesome. Like, it's just so cool. And so we're now like, oh my gosh, we've got to be figuring out how to make this large Bible study feel small, you know, and get women connected. So that's what we're going to be working on over the next week. And then the last piece is discipleship and mentoring. And Alyssa Roth is going to be sharing with us a little bit later about what that's looked like in her life. But as Jesse talked about at the beginning, this is just life on life relationships. So discipleship groups of 2s and 3s, one-on-one mentoring, or, you know, one-on-2 mentoring, just getting that rubbing up of life rubbing off on each other and that just intimate relationship regularly. So I'm going to invite Sarah McGill to come up and just share a little bit about the small social gatherings, and then she's just going to share a little bit about why this.
Hey, everybody. I'm Sarah McGill. I've been going to this church for a while, and right now I'm serving my three-year term as an elder. I'm a few months in. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm excited about it. Kristen and I were talking over some vegan nachos last week about this part of the discipleship, and she was like, can you just say what you just said to the group? So I'm going to try to do that. This is something that came up in some of the conversations that we were having early on, and it's something I feel really passionate about, having opportunities for small groups to connect. One reason for this is because I'm an introvert, and if I go to a big group gathering, I might have a fine time, but I will not probably be able to have a very deep connection with anybody. It scares me. There's so many people. I tend to make my friends, and when I look back at the friends, especially that I've made here, it's been because we met in a smaller setting. And also a key thing is it was because we were doing something we both loved. And it was not a setup. It was like we were both volunteering for this organization, or we both loved running, or we were both going to the same show. And so what we're trying to do is find a way for those things to happen. And not by chance, but a little bit more organized, but still in a natural way. That's the first reason I think those are important, because that has made all the difference in my life. Secondly is some of my background and baggage with women's ministry in the past. I grew up in a Presbyterian church with a grandma who was on the moderator of the Des Moines Presbytery. We had female pastors, female elders, female deacons. It wasn't until I got exposed to some different kinds of Christianity that I knew that anywhere in Christianity there was limitations on what women were supposed to be interested in or supposed to do. And it shocked me. I flipped out when I realized I was part of an organization, this is in college, that thought that there were only certain things I could do. And that has been something I'm very passionate about. As an adult and as a woman of faith, is making sure that I help create spaces where women know that there is a full appreciation for the diversity of interests, diversity of talents, diversity of skills, diversity of all kinds of things in women's ministry. And so one way we're going to do that is we want these small social interactions. One thing they can be, if you just want to host a social event at your place, at your favorite restaurant, you can do that. Another way we can do this is if you love doing something and you're open to bringing a couple of other people along, I want to know about it, if you're open to that. So what we're going to try to do is have volunteers from this group. If you have a passion for anything and you're willing to open that passion up to other people who might also be interested, for example, if you love karaoke, or you love running, or you love baking vegan goods, hint, hint. If you have a show you're going to, if you have a book you're dying to read, if you have a movie night, it does not matter what it is. It only matters that you are naturally, this is a natural passion, something you're going to do anyway. We don't want you to force yourself into doing something. Like if you hate hosting people at your house, do not host people at your house, please. It'll just make you miserable. But if it's something that you really love doing, please come talk to me if you're willing to do that with a few other people. It doesn't have to be a regular thing. You can do it once. But we're just trying to create some spaces for people who have similar interests to meet each other and to share that joy. So one thing that I'm looking for is if you are one of those people who love something and are willing to share that with a couple other people, let me know and we'll help other people to know about that. I don't exactly know how that's going to happen yet, but we'll figure it out. And two, if you're the kind of person who loves finding out what other people are interested in and then saying, you know what you should do? You should invite some other people to do that. I could use a few more people to help me find you all, because there's no way I will be able to meet all of you and then find out what you're passionate about and then help you host something. So if you're a person who likes finding out what other
I was so excited at our lunch the other day, and actually Sarah was part of one of those initial groups when I came back, and I was like, these three girls, and they were talking about how they became friends and how it spawned out of this stuff, and I was like, I want to do that. What Sarah was talking about was just about it coming out of who you are. She said something, I think, in one of her book clubs. A woman who is into printmaking came and taught each one of them there, did like a printmaking session. And I'm like, that is just awesome, because it helps, I think, as a human, and I'm a woman, so I can only speak from the woman's perspective, but sometimes it's hard for me to understand that God is involved in my life to every degree, and to bring all of myself and those things that I love and the passions that I have and under, you know, his kingdom and his realm. And so I love the idea of tapping into these things in ourselves and sharing them with other people. And I really believe that I just kept saying this at lunch. She was probably like, you've said that like seven times, but I just feel like it will advance the kingdom just in this really like natural, loving, like way. And it just excites me so much. So we'll talk a little bit later about how you can connect with Sarah. Right now I'm going to have Jesse come up and share a little bit about the ongoing spiritual formation piece. So.
Yeah, so these we're hoping to do in a more kind of coordinated way. I think one thing we started hearing as we were talking to folks was just that desire to study and learn and grow together. And so we've done a few institutes. The Bible study is obviously the first of these, and obviously we hit some sort of a need there. So we're going to continue to do those. This will probably be something that we do year-round with little breaks in between, but I just think we can't go wrong, you know, when we come together. So please keep your eyes out to sign up for those. Yeah, because those learning events obviously matter a lot. We had women going to other churches to do Bible studies, and I was like, darn it, I want to do that here. So we're going to keep doing that. So please do keep your eyes peeled for those. Also, a lot of folks have asked this question. They can't be here on Tuesday nights. Can they still be a part of the Bible study? Absolutely. So a lot of women are going to do that. The study, we're doing N.T. Wright's For Everyone series right now with Philippians. It's phenomenal. And the questions are great. They're just easy. They're ones you can do on your own. And then you can always grab another person and talk to them about that too. So if you want to do that and be a part of it, even if you can't be here on a Tuesday, do it. Sign up. We'll get you the book. That make sense?